thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Our Easter message 2021 is entitled, "We're All In This Together." You might have heard that a few times this past year. We're all in this together. Well, let me tell you something right at the start. It's got nothing to do with COVID. It's got everything to do with Christ. We're all in this together. Romans chapter 6. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. It's possibly not among the usual suspects we would turn to on an Easter Sunday, but I hope by the end of this message we'll all see why it should be. We are in this together. Romans chapter 6 from verse 1. Halfway through this amazing letter, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Hallelujah. "For we have been united with him in a death like his. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. For you also, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, here we go. Therefore, we do not let sin reign in our mortal body to obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body as sin, to sin, as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." We're in this together as the people of God. If you're a believer, God wants you to know for certain, beyond any shadow of doubt, that when it comes to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we really are in this together. Three points from our text this morning: slavery, unity, and identity. Slavery, unity, and identity. First, slavery. Paul mentions it here. This slavery to sin. That's one thing that right-thinking people don't need to be convinced about. We really are in that together. The Bible says that all have sinned, all, and fallen short of the glorious standard of God's perfection. But not only are all human beings sinners by nature, we're enslaved, confined, and defined by sin. And we excuse ourselves by saying, we're only human, nobody's perfect, we all make mistakes, we can't help it. Anyway, who are you to judge? How can we escape this? How can we escape this enslavement to sin? There's only one way. One way. And it's through death and resurrection. It's the only way to escape it. Oh, we try all sorts of different ways. We try to pretty ourselves up. We try to put our best foot forward. We try to do our good religious stuff. It doesn't cut it. It doesn't come anywhere near close to setting ourselves free from this deep-dyed enslavement to sin. It takes death and it takes resurrection. Verse 6, we know, Paul says, but do we know? Do we really know? Verse 6, yes, we know that our old self, our old enslaved self, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin may be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. When he died, we died. We are in this together. The famous theologian, Karl Barth, maybe an infamous theologian to some of us, was asked a question, when were you saved? And he replied, it happened one afternoon in AD 34 when Jesus died on a cross. I think he knew something. I think he understood something about Romans chapter 6 when we died because Christ died and we died with him and our old self was crucified with him. We are in this together. You might be familiar with the African-American spiritual, first sung by slaves in the southern states of America. Were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? When I first came across that song, I thought to myself, well, no, I wasn't actually there. I wasn't even born. And my granddad and my great-granddad and my great-great-granddad weren't even born. Didn't understand what it was about. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Now I know something different. Do you? Do you know something different? Were you there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? The second verse says, were you there when they nailed him to the tree? The third verse says, were you there when they laid him in the tomb? And then it stops. I demand another verse. I want another verse, or two, or three. There should be another verse. Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Were you there when he ascended on high? Were you there when he took his seat at the right hand of the Father? Were you there? We were there. We are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ. I was there. If you're a believer, you were there. Verse 4, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Unity. From slavery to unity. And this unity with Christ. How so, Paul? How are we united with Christ? Paul gives us two examples. We are plunged into Christ, and we are planted in Christ. Verse 5 says, if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly, absolutely be united with him in a resurrection like his. The apostles' original audience would have immediately recognized and understood this word, united. They would have known what it meant. The word united is a word gardeners and farmers would use. It means to plant or to engraft, to be united with Christ. And it means that we have been engrafted into the very root of the life of Christ. Now that can just be a fact that wafts over us, or it can be something that grips our hearts and our hearts leap with joy to think that we have been so united, so engrafted, so stuck on Christ, the very root of his life, that what is drawn up through that root is drawn up through our lives. The life that Christ has, we have. Because he died, we died. Because he lives, we live in him. We are plunged into Christ. Paul uses the word baptized. It doesn't refer to water baptism. That's not what it's saying. And we do teach that this is a form. And we teach our the people that are being baptized, hey, listen, this scripture tells you what has already happened to you in Jesus. It's not about water baptism. It tells you what has already happened to you in Christ. It is a reference to our salvation. We have been picked up from that place of enslavement, and we have been plunged into the very life of Christ. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Do you experience that? Or are we still walking in the shallows, still up to our knees, still up to our waist, and we haven't understood that in Christ we can launch out into the depths of all that he is? To make something or someone clean, something has to become dirty. Yes? So to wash your hands as you sing Happy Birthday, perhaps, your hands are becoming clean, but the water becomes dirty. And so here we have it. We are united with the sinless, pure Christ. He took my sin. He took my sorrow. He made them his very own. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Paul says, do you not know? Are you aware of this? Are you keeping up with this? Verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, plunged into Christ, we're baptized into his death. It's a done deal. You know, the Gospels present the death and resurrection of Jesus as something to observe, to see, to witness. We are on the outside looking in. In a sense, we are spectators as the story unfolds before us. And this is the calling of every preacher. Every Christian is called to present Christ. That is what we are to do. We are to hold up Jesus. As individuals, as a community, we are to say, look, this is Jesus. Isn't he amazing? Isn't he magnificent? Isn't he great? Anybody? That's what we're supposed to be about. To say, look, you're enslaved. Your life doesn't work. It's a mess. You're entangled by sin and you just don't know what's happening. You've got no future. You're hopeless. Look. In so many ways, that's how we come to Easter Sunday morning. And we come and we observe and we look as spectators looking in. But there's something more wonderful. And we see in Romans 6, we're presented with the glorious goal of the gospel. When believing spectators become active participators in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And that gets me excited. So we're no longer slaves to sin on the outside looking in. We're on the inside looking out. That's a change of perspective. You see, looking into the empty tomb of Jesus is thrilling. Anybody been to Israel, to Jerusalem? And apparently the garden tomb, and many believe that was the tomb. And what do? We went there and we looked in just to make sure. And you can go and look in. And it's thrilling and it's great. And we read the Gospels and we see the excitement of it all. And John running ahead and Peter running and coming to the tomb and are looking in. And it's thrilling and it's magnificent and it's great. But there's something more. Picture this. Picture looking out from the empty tomb of Jesus. Looking out. That puts fire in your belly and steel in your spine. To think, I'm looking out from where Jesus stood as the conqueror. And he has conquered. And when we stand where Jesus stood, looking out from an empty tomb, we know that in him, we too will conquer. We too will conquer. We have to conquer, for we are in him, the conqueror, because we're in this together. And finally, identity. Identity, who are you? Who are you? You know, people say, well, when the devil reminds you of your past, just remind him of his future. We are not our past. We are not what we used to be. We are not who we used to be. Augustine, church father. Augustine's Confessions, you've heard of good old Augustine. Before he was saved, He was basically a sex addict. That's what he was. He came to Jesus. He was saved. Walking down the street one day, one of his former lovers came up to him and engaged him in conversation and tried to get him to, you know, come along, Augustine, come back to my place and we'll have a great time and everything. And Augustine's like, sorry, I'm not doing that. And then the woman said, Augustine, it is I. Thinking that he didn't recognize her. It is I. And Augustine turned and said, yes, but it is not I. It is not I. You're talking to a different guy. You're talking to a different person. That Augustine died. That Augustine was crucified with Christ. And he knew who he was, this new person in Jesus. Verse 11, so you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. The word translated consider comes from the Greek word logizomai. Logizomai, which means to reckon, to calculate, to do the math, to work it out. Consider yourselves. We are to add up what God has done for us in Jesus. And we are to come up with the right answer. I was never that good at maths at all. But spiritual maths, do we need a tutor? Do we need somebody to come alongside us and coach us in some spiritual sums? Because here we have it. We have to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. And we do that by adding up what God has done for us in Christ. And we come to the only logical, reasonable, right answer, and that is, I am a child of God. That is who I am. Any other answer is a wrong answer. It's an X, no gold star. Do we need a math tutor? Do you need someone to come alongside and help you to understand and work it out? God says in Isaiah 1 verse 18, come, let us reason together. Come on, we'll sit down, we'll work this out, we'll clear this up for you. Come, let's work it out, says the Lord. Though your sin is like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Come on, let's do the sums. Who are you? Who do you think you are? If you put two and two together and come up with seven, are you thinking that you're something less than God has called you and made you to be because of the gospel? Are you living that way? Are you thinking that way? Are you acting that way, reacting that way? Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the identity of believers. No longer slaves, but sons, daughters of the living God, united with him. Let me bring this to a conclusion this morning. I want us to make no mistake, to let no one tell you otherwise, that we are absolutely, wholly, fully, and forever in this together, in Christ, with Christ, planted, plunged, united, wedded, welded, and eternally fixed together in Christ, with Christ. And nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Are you convinced of this? We've been told all year that we're in this together. Well, some of us are more in it than others. Are we in this together? How deeply are you in this? How absolutely, completely convinced are you that you are united with Christ? That your life is in Christ? That when He died, you died? When He rose, you rose? When He walked out of that tomb, you walk out of that tomb? You know, you may not be so sure of your ability to hold on to Him, but you can be sure of His ability to hold on to you. Who shall separate us from the love of God? I want you to answer me when I come to this question. I mentioned 7 things that Paul says. And I want you to answer me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? 5 are convinced that trouble won't save. Or hardship? Help my Bob. Persecution? No. Famine? Nakedness? Danger? Sword? COVID? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, Paul says, no. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul's convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither present or future, or any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. People talk about losing their salvation. What are you talking about? Really? We've died with Him. We're raised with Him. We're welded to Him. Nothing. And it's all because of Him. Because He died, we died. When He rose, we rose. When He ascended, we ascended. And when He was enthroned, we were seated with Him in the heavenly places, and we shall reign with Him. That's the truth. Does that excite you at all? Does that feed you at all? Does that give hope at all? In the midst of all of this, when we've been fed so much and be put in our box and be told, oh, meticulously what we should do and shouldn't do, and it's all, and don't kill your granny, and all the rest of it by not wearing a mask, and all that stuff. And yes, we should just be sensible and wise and all the rest of it. But there's nobody putting me in a tomb. There's nobody putting me in a box. There's nobody saying to the Church of Jesus Christ, you know your place. Go in your box and close the door. No. 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 His death is our death. His victory is our victory. His resurrection is our resurrection. His triumph is our triumph. And because He lives by the power of an indestructible life, Hebrews 7 verse 16, we live in the same power of the same indestructible life. Hallelujah! But I don't feel it, Pastor. You'll never feel it if you don't believe it. And you'll never understand it if you don't reckon it and do your spiritual sums and come up with the right answer. You'll always think you're a victim. You'll always be fearful of death, terrified of death and catching COVID or whatever it may be. I'm not walking through this life cowering in a corner. I'm a son of the living God. I'll be sensible, I'll be wise, and I'll do what I'm told to a certain extent. But he has the power of an indestructible life. That's what he's living. So what kind of life are we living? Being pushed around by the enemy, by our doubts, by our fears. Who are you? You're a son of the living God. You're a child of the King. Are you still a spectator? Are you still viewing all of this from a distance, detached, undecided? Or are you submerged, soaked, drenched in the reality of it all? Have you been plunged into Christ, thrown in at the deep end of his unfathomable love and grace? Have you been planted in him, wedded, welded to him? Or are you now a participator in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? The Word of God says, if we're true believers, then we really are in this together. And your love
is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.